Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tasmai Namo Raja Janahai Saha Chakra Atmanatmane Aho Pashyata Choilo Asau Rupi No Anugraham Vyadat Tasmai namo vraja janai janai sahachakra atmanatmane aho pashyata shailo sau rupeno nugraham vyadat Tasmai namo vrajajanai Sahajakra atmanatmane Aho pashyata shailo sau Rupino nugraham vyadat Tasmai namo vrajajanai Sahachakra Atmanatmane Aho Pashyata Shailo Sau Rupino Nugraham Vyadat. Tasmai to him. Namaha. Obeisances. Raja Janahai. With the people of Raja. Saha. Together. Chakre. He made. Atmana. By himself. Atmane. To himself. Aho. Ah. Pashyata. Just see. Shailaha. Hill. Asau. This. Rupi. Manifest in person. Naha. Upon us. Anugraham. Mercy. Vyadat has bestowed. Translation, together with the people of Braja, the Lord bowed down to his form, to this form of Govardhan Hill, thus in effect offering obeisances to himself. Then he said, just see how this hill has appeared in person and bestowed mercy upon us. Okay. So, purport by the servants of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Dijai. It is clear from this verse that Lord Krishna had expanded himself and was appearing in his normal form among the festival goers of Vrindavan, while simultaneously manifesting himself as the great form of Govardhan Hill. Thus, in his form as a child, Krishna led the residents of Vrindavan in bowing down to his new incarnation as Govardhan Hill. And to all, he pointed out the great mercy bestowed by this divine form of Govardhan. Lord Krishna's amazing transcendental activities were certainly in keeping with the festive atmosphere. Okay? So, tasmai namo brajajanahai, lahotsokla apanatmane, aho pasita shailosa, rupino nuraham vidat. So, om ganat timidandasha gananjana shlokaya chakshu unmiditam yena tasmai shi gurave namaha. So, it's a very nice verse in the Brahma Sangita, and that verse is Advaita Chuta Nadir Nanta Rokum Adyam Prana Purusham Nadyoga Namacha Vedeshu Durlabam Adurlabam Atmavato Govindam Adi Purusham Tamahamajami. And that verse tells us Advaita, actually the word Dvaita means two, Advaita means not dual. You understand? In other words, the same. It's the same. It's one. Advaita means one. It's like you have Advaita Acharya, that means basically he is worshiping the one supreme personality of Godhead, Krishna. Of course, there's an interesting statement by Sachi Mata, the mother of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who one time accused Advaita Acharya of not being Advaita but Dvaita. That's an interesting story. That the story goes as follows, that Sachi Mata and Jagannath Mishra, they had two children. That is Visvarup, who is the brother of Lord Chaitanya, older brother. And then there is Lord Chaitanya himself, Nimai. So Visvarup, he was associated with the Dvaita Acharya a lot. And one day he overheard his parents discussing something that really upset him, and that was his impending marriage. And as soon as he heard that, in the middle of the night, he escaped from home. And of course, parents don't like it very much when their children escape from home and join the Hare Krishna movement. We have, actually, one disciple in the United States who's coming from a South Indian family. And he's been initiated for 5 or 6 years, and he can't tell his parents that he's initiated. You know, he's afraid. And his parents are actually devotees. They just gave a large donation to the temple, but he can't tell them. Does anyone understand? The parents really want to control the children. So, anyway, apart from that subject matter. So when Lord Chaitanya's brother took sannyas, he left home, Sachi Mata got very angry with Advaita Acharya, and she said, he is not Advaita, he is Dvaita. And in this particular case, Dvaita means like two-faced, you know, a liar, a politician. You understand? That's what the word Dvaita can mean. If someone says one thing and does another thing, you know, he's lying to me. And because of that, Sachi Mata was not able to get love of God for a while. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was giving out love of God to everybody, the devotees asked, what about Sachi Mata? And Lord Chaitanya said, no. She's committed an offense at Advaita Acharya's lotus feet. And then Advaita Acharya felt so bad that he basically grabbed the feet of Sachi Mata. Sachi Mata grabbed his feet. Anyway, so Sachi Mata got love of God. So that teaches us, basically, how dangerous it is to offend a devotee, right? That even if you're the mother of God, can you imagine the mother of God? That'd be pretty nice, being the mother of God, or the father of God. Even if you offend a devotee, you can't get love of God, even if you've given birth to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Wow. That's how strong it is, or strict it is. So anyway, so that's what Advaita means. It means non-dual or the same. So Advaita, Achyuta. Achyuta. Achyuta means, you know, these are, when you put an A in front of a word in Sanskrit, it sort of negates the word. Achyuta means fallible. Like we are Achyuta. We are fallible. Krishna is Achyuta. He's not fallible. Not fallible means that he's transcendental to the modes of material nature, and we are Deviyeshu, Gunamaya, Mama Maya, Durachaya, that we are controlled by the modes of nature. He kaschit shanama bijatu tishtatiya karma krit karyate yavasa karma sarva prakriti chari gunaru. So Advaita Chuta Ananta, Advaita Chuta Anadir, sorry. Anadir is the next word in this verse. Anadir means someone who has no beginning. Like the same thing. Adir, Anadir, Adir, Govinda, Sarva, Karna, Karna. Krishna is going back. He's one, Advaita, Achyuta, he's infallible, Anadir. And then Ananta Rupa. Rupa means like form. So Ananta, Ananta, again, that means unlimited. Like Ananta means limited, Ananta means unlimited. It's interesting. You put an A in front of the word, you just get the opposite. So Ananta Rupam, Ananta Rupam, he has unlimited form. So this is, appears to be a contradiction. He's one, and he has unlimited forms, Ananta Rupam. And he's the oldest, Purana. Yet, what? Navayovanamcha. Ajam Purana, Navayovanamcha. I mean, he's always young. So these are all contradictions in this verse, isn't it? Apparent contradiction. If you say, I mean, probably I'm the oldest person in this room. I think so. Right? Anybody here over 70? No. So if you say that I'm the oldest and I'm also the most youthful, that'd be a contradiction. Unless you're referring to the soul. That's a little bit different. But it's a contradiction. Ajam Purana Purusham. He's a person. Navayovanam cha. And then you'll never understand these contradictions. Vedeshu Durlabham by reading the Vedic literatures. Isn't it? Interesting. Vedeshu Durlabham. And then there's the opposite of Durlabham, Adurlabham. Again, you have the A in front of it. Vedeshu, reading the Vedas or approaching the Vedas, Durlabham. You're not going to understand, it's too difficult. And then Adurlabham, Atma Bhakta. And then, of course, famous line, Govindamani Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. So this is also brought out, this inability to understand anything by reading the Vedas is brought out in this famous verse in discussion between Yudhisthira Maharaj and Yamaraj, Tarko Pradishta Shutina Vivina. Same thing. That one cannot understand the nature of Krishna, the nature of the Absolute, by Shruti Vivina. Vivina means the Shrutis. Shruti, of course, here refers to the Vedic literatures in a larger context. Of course, sometimes Shruti just refers to the original four Vedas, and sometimes it refers to the whole Vedas. Anyway, Shruti means that which is heard. So, Atharva, Yajur, Sama. I like this. And so, Shrutina, Vibhina, Vibhina, because the Vedas are multifarious. And then, of course, the conclusion is one can only understand the Absolute by, what, Mahajaniyena Gatasa Panta, by serving the Mahajanas, by the mercy of a devotee. It's very interesting. Just like before I joined the Krishna Consciousness Movement, I read the Bhagavad Gita, and I didn't understand a damn thing. Was a Prabhupada's translation. But the translation was rather accurate. And I read it and I said, I don't understand. Sounds pretty mystical to me, but what's happening? Who is this Krishna guy? Who is this Arjuna guy? But then as soon as we got Prabhupada's mercy, then the Bhagavad Gita cleared up, we understood everything. So anyway, so getting back to the point, Advaita Chuta Anadir Ananta Rupam. So Krishna here is manifesting many different forms, but all these forms are the same person. You understand? It's not a different person, but each and every form that Krishna manifests is doing something different, which is pretty amazing. Not like the yogis' expansions. Prabhupada talked about yogi expansions in regard to this sage Shobari Muni. Shobari Muni was a great Muni who offended, another story about offending a devotee. He offended Garuda. You know the story? He was meditating in the Yamuna, and one day he became very attached to the fish. And he wanted to protect them, the pet fish in the Yamuna River. And Garuda was coming for some prasad. Yamuna Fall. You know. Anyway, like they say, Ganga Fall. Anyway. But that's all right. Garuda's a fish eater. That's all right. Certain species, they're allowed. It's not that you preach to a lion to become a vegetarian. You see, it's not that you go to a lion so you're breaking the regular principles. Or you go to Garuda. Garuda's actually allowed to even eat human beings. Oh, my God. It's a cannibal. As long as the human beings are not Brahmins, Garuda's allowed to eat them. So anyway, so Shobari Muni was there in the Yamuna River, and he was protecting the fish from Garuda. He cursed Garuda. And as a result, his material desires increased. There's another story about offending a Vaishnava. And then, even though he was such a great yogi, he decided, well, maybe I should get married. And then he went to the king, I forget the king's name, Mandata or something. He went to the king, and he said to the king, can I marry one of your daughters? And because this, the Muni, he looked really bad after bathing in the river for such a long time. Like if you go swimming for a long time, your skin gets wrinkly and you look really hellish. And he had seaweed all over him or whatever. I mean, probably hadn't combed his hair either. Can't comb your hair if you're in the river. So he went, and the king said, oh my God, nobody's going to marry him. He is ugly. So the Muni understood, transformed himself into a handsome young man by his mystic powers, and then he went into the place where all the princesses were. There was 50 of them. And he said, who wants to marry me? And they all said, me. And he said, okay, girls, you can all marry me. And so anyway, he divided himself up. The reason I'm telling the story is he divided himself up into 50 forms. But those forms were like television expansions. In other words, if you ever go on into a shop that sells a lot of televisions, sometimes they have a display of the televisions, the televisions are on so you can see how beautiful the screen is. And they're all showing the same image. So when a yogi expands himself, all the expansions, they're doing the same thing. So it must have been a little frustrating for the girls. They were You understand, they were married to him, and I guess he couldn't even use any of their names. Because if he used their names, it would be the name of someone else for all 49, the other 49. You understand what I'm talking about? If you said, Devi Priya, whatever the name was. Anyway, the other ones would get angry and slap him. So it wasn't so productive. So when Krishna expands himself, of course Krishna had 108 wives. That's a lot of wives. Actually, Prabhupada said, that's nothing. Like if people say, 16,000, how is that possible? Prabhupada said, that's nothing for Krishna. Actually, everyone is Krishna's property. Everyone at once is Krishna's wife, Prakriti, in relationship to Purusha, who is Krishna. So it's not so amazing. So when Krishna expanded himself, 16,108 husbands for 16,108 wives, each in every place they were doing different things. Bhagavatam describes this. He goes, Narada Muni was visiting the houses. He was doing a home program. Yeah, he also does home programs. So he was doing home programs in Krishna's palaces. And each palace he went to, there was something there. In one place, Krishna was playing with his kids. Another place, Krishna was talking to his wife. Another place, this was happening. Another place, that. And each and every wife had like 10 children. And that's a lot of kids. 16,108 times 10, just get a zero. It's very easy. 160,000. You know, anyway, it's a lot of children. And each of those children had grandchildren. Or children. And Krishna had grandchildren. Anyway, he had a big family. That's all we know. So the point is that it's different. Each and every expansion of Krishna acts differently. And Krishna's thinking differently in each one of those expansions too, because of the influence of Yoga Maya. I mean, I'll give you another example of an expansion thing. Once upon a time in Dwarka, this is also a story from Krishna book. Once upon a time in Dwarka, one of the Brahmin's sons kept disappearing. You know, Brahmin had children and they just kept disappearing right after they were born. And you know, in Ram Raj, nothing like that can happen, or Krishna Raj, or where there's a good king. Nothing inauspicious should happen if the king is following Dharma. You know, there's always enough rainfall, there's never cyclones, there's never any of these inauspicious things. So, and everyone loves the king. So everyone was shocked. And so the Brahmin, he went and complained to Ugrasena, who was the king. Krishna wasn't the king. Ugrasena was the king, but Krishna was more or less in charge. You say more or less. Krishna's always in charge. So he went to complain, and Arjuna happened to be there at the same time. And Arjuna, having the nice Kshatriya spirit, said, "Don't worry, I'm the mighty Arjuna. The mighty Arjuna with my Gandiva bow." You know, this is a Kshatriya spirit, they brag, isn't it? Just like I have one disciple of Nandi who's a boxer, he always brags how strong he is. He was very proud of their strength. We were just with him and he said, "I can carry you up the stairs." So I jumped on his back and he carried me up the stairs. That's pride, isn't it? Can you imagine that? 70 kilos on your back? Anyway, and he was proud. "I did it." So Arjuna, this is actually Kshatriya spirit. They're very proud. They want to show off their muscles, show off their trophies. You ever go into someone's house and he has trophies on his wall? You know, whatever he won, the golf, or kickboxing, or something like that. So, anyway, Arjuna bragged, "I am the mighty Arjuna. No one can defeat me. I am my Gandiva bow." So he goes to the Brahmin's house and says, I'm going to defend your children and make sure you don't lose your children. And he said, if I'm not successful, I'll kill myself, burn myself. And Krishna was thinking, this Arjuna, he keeps making promises sometimes. You know, Krishna has to really cover for Arjuna. Like in the battle of Kurukshetra, when Arjuna was really angry with Jayadrath, he said a similar thing. He said, "I'm going to kill this Jayadrath before the sun sets the next day." And after that, in the Mahabharata, it says, Krishna said to Arjuna, "Why are you making all these vows without my permission?" You know. So then, Krishna had to arrange in the battle Kurukshetra for the next day to be apparently over by covering the sun. So Jayadrath came out and Arjuna was able to cut off his head. And Krishna also told him, don't just cut off his head. Send his head to his father's lap. You know, so Krishna really takes care of Arjuna nicely. Even Arjuna starts bragging like that. So anyway, so getting back to the story. So Arjuna was bragging, but the Brahmin's son disappeared. And Arjuna got ready to kill himself. And Krishna said, that's not a good idea. we need you around. You know, we have the battle Kurukshetra planned out, so don't do it. And so Krishna said, let's go for a ride, Arjuna. So they get on the chariot, Krishna's chariot, pulled by these beautiful horses, and they pierce. This is Krishna book story, for those of you who read Krishna book. They pierce through all the coverings of the material universe, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, false ego, and it's so bright they pierce, and who do they see? The Mahavishnu. And Mahavishnu says, hey, I just made this trick. I stole the Brahmin's kiss, just so I could see you, Krishna. So here you have Krishna making a trick so that he can see himself. How does that make sense? Isn't it? This is a chincha. If you try to understand the Lord's pastimes using your teeny brain, Prabhupada used the word teeny, not tiny. He pronounced it teeny brain. You will never understand. So he said, I just wanted to see you. So here's the Brahmin, you know. So anyways, they took back the Brahmin's son and everything was all right. So it's amazing. It's amazing what, I mean, Krishna's just so amazing. And then you have the story of when Krishna, Lord Brahma, stole the coward boys and the calves, and Krishna manifested himself as all the different coward boys and the calves. And Krishna was just like playing with all of them. And he wasn't thinking, it's boring, I'm just playing with myself. This is Yogamaya. Krishna has this Yogamaya, so each and every one of his incarnations can act differently, simultaneously, and it's all. And Krishna's also in everyone's heart as the Paramatma. And he's aware of everything you're thinking, everything you're doing. And Krishna's creating the universe as the Mahavishnu, all the universe is the Mahavishnu, and Krishna's entering the universe as the Garbhadaksha Vishnu, giving birth to Lord Brahma. And Krishna's, Krishna's in your heart, Krishna appears as Lord Nrisingadeva, and all these universes, all these incarnations are happening on a regular basis. Like right now, Lord Nrisingadeva is appearing in some universe, Krishna's appearing in another universe, or maybe this, it's a different universe. Lord Brahma is doing his pastimes with Ravan, you know, killing Ravan. Lord Varaha is appearing, Kurma is appearing. I mean, and not only the incarnations we know about, there's as many incarnations as waves of the ocean. And all that's happening simultaneously. Oh my God. Think about it. No, you can't think about it. We have this saying, when I was young, it blows your mind. You ever heard that saying before? I mean, it blows your mind means it's just like, I can't think about it. And that's God, that's Krishna. He's so wonderful. And so if you become incredulous, in other words, you think, I can't do that, then you're not really having faith. It's just like that story of Narada Muni approaching the Brahmin and the cobbler. You know that story. Narada Muni approaches the Brahmin and the cobbler, and they both want to know when they're going back to Godhead and what Narayan is doing. And then Narada Muni comes back after talking to Narayan, getting instructions from Narayan. He tells the Brahmin that Krishna is putting, an elephant through the needle or something like that. And then the Brahmin says, that's crazy. God can't do that. Imagine, God can't do it. There's nothing God can't do. And Narada Muni says, therefore, you know, you're going back after a few quadrillion births. And the Brahmin says, I don't believe you saw it right. Yeah. And then the cobbler, having a simple faith, then he just says, oh, that's not so amazing. Because Krishna is putting a whole tree within a seed. And if you look at what Krishna's doing, all right, let's talk about the material world, how amazing Krishna is. You know, we talked about Krishna's expansions. But let's say, materially, okay. Let's look inside the cell, one cell in your body. And there's more things going on in your cell, one cell, than are going on in every city in the world. And it all, and according to the stupid scientists, Nyaya Pratyayana Masuram Bhavam Ashrita, then it all happened by chance. You know, it's amazing. I mean, if you examine even one cell, there's little creatures inside the cell. I'm going to give you a little hint. They're called kinesins, and they carry things from one part of the cell to another. They have feet, and they walk. Did you know this? It's amazing. Actually, because I've been studying cellular biology to show that life comes from life. But anyway, I have whole presentations about this. And so they walk and they carry garbage from one part of the cell to another. And that's happening inside each and every cell of your body. There's a powerhouse. There's DNA, it's replicating, RNA. Anyway, I'm not going to get into the whole thing. So the whole thing, it's amazing. Everything's amazing. Isn't it? We can't understand a damn thing. So we should develop this sense of just like, wow, Krishna is great. Of course, when you become, let's say, a resident of Braj, like these personalities here, then you forget about Krishna being great. Then you just go, Krishna's my son, Krishna's my lover. You know, that's all right, that's for them. But for us, we have the 10th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, right? And Krishna describes him in his opulence. We have the 11th chapter in which Krishna shows universal form. So that's to bring us to the point of, wow, God is so great, we should worship him. He's inconceivable. And this is really what's being described here in this verse. It's inconceivable. Krishna's worshiping himself. Two forms. The three forms. He's Govardhan Hill, the big form. And also all of Braj is an expansion of Balaram too. And then there's Balaram here too, who is an expansion of Krishna, right? I mean, all this is just like, Krishna is really the wow god. Isn't it? So, anyway, so these are some points. Any questions or comments? We have 10 more minutes of class. Questions, comments, arguments, problems, issues? No? Upanuga, you must have questions.
I was thinking Yoga and Muhammad.
Yeah.
What's the relationship?
Mahamaya is an expansion of Yogamaya. Just like, I mean, if you really want to get into the Shaktis, then you start with Radharani, who's the Adi Shakti. Radharani expands as the principal gopis, Lalita, Vishakha, the Astasagis, and then all the, not all, yeah, the Sakis. Their energy, Shakti Tattva. There's different tattvas. Tattva means like a category. So Radharani and the expand. Anyway, Radharani is the Adi Shakti, and all the Shaktis expand from her. You have the, and then after that, the queens in Dwarka. You understand? Queens in Dwarka, like directly, you have Radharani expanding as Satyabhama, and then Chandravali expanding as Rukmini, and the other queens in Dwarka, which are all just expansions. And that's explained by Rupa Goswami in the Lalita Madhava, a very interesting play written by Rupa Goswami. If you're interested in hearing Lalita Madhava, I've done a whole narration on it. It's available at iskondesiretree.com on the internet. So then there's the Lakshmis who expand from the wives of Krishna. You understand? Lakshmi Sahasra Sata Sambrahma Sedamanam. Govindamani Purusham Dhamaham Pujami. And then after that, you have from the Lakshmis, just like from Krishna expands Lord Shiva in this material world, Saikshita, from Krishna's glance, then Durga expands. And then one of the manifestations of Durga is this Mahamaya. Mahamaya means the great Illusion, great mercy, and great energy. Maya means several different things. Energy, mercy, and illusion. So anyways, it's all expansions. That's the relationship. And for a devotee, if someone is actually devoted to Krishna, Mahamaya helps you become Krishna conscious. But Mahamaya has two different tendencies or potencies. One is throwing you into illusion, and the other one is keeping you in illusion. Just like you want to join the Hare Krishna movement, then your parents will tell you, why are you joining this movement? Do you understand if you give up worshiping the demigods, everything unauspicious will happen? Isn't it? Don't you understand? You know, this is the family tradition, whatever. And that's Maya's energy to keep you in illusion. And as far as throwing you in illusion, then you just, like you're walking down the street, you see something attractive, you're a man, you see an attractive woman, or a woman, you see an attractive man, or you see the latest iPhone or something like that in the Vodafone shop, then you get into illusion. I mean, so many things attract us. Jayate Ovishat Pum Sam Sangha Stasha Vijayate. Sanjayate Kama. Kama Krodha Vijayate. Anyway, Krodha. So, yeah. Krodha Samvibhaha. So that's the two potencies of Mahamaya. She throws you, and when you want to get out, she gives you so many reasons why you shouldn't join the Hare Krishna movement. Usually here it's family reasons. And I remember something very funny with Srila Tamal Krishna Maharaj, when they had this bus tour, you know, the buses, they were going around making devotees around America. They wanted to protect the new people they were preaching to from their girlfriends. So they to keep them from the throwing or keeping potency of Maya. And it was funny. Anyway, so what they would do is they'd convince one young man to join the Hare Krishna movement. And then he wanted to get all this stuff from his house in which he was living in with his girlfriend. So the brahmacharis would go with him, just like three or four brahmacharis, protecting him at the same time from the influence of Maya. So, and then they'd grab his stuff and this poor girl would be crying, "Oh, Joe, how can you leave me?" And then Brahmachari kept saying to him, "She's Maya, she's Maya, she's Maya. It's the throwing potency of Maya, so the throwing potency of Maya, throwing potency of Maya." And then they'd stuff him in the bus, and the bus would drive away, and this poor girl, like that. So, anyway, that was the good old days. Krishna consciousness. We don't do that anymore. So that's the throwing potency and keeping potency. Because you got to be careful of both those potencies. Just like when Bharat Maharaj saw that deer, that was the throwing potency. You understand? So Maya is making so many plans to keep us here in this world. It's a test. I mean, it's not that she's bad. She's actually kind of nice, because she's a Vaishnava. But just like a teacher, you know, you may not like your teacher because they're testing you, right? But the teacher's testing you to help you learn the subject matter. So sometimes you fail, isn't it? And then you want, isn't sometimes you, well, I don't think I ever failed the test. But anyway, so if you fail a test, then you go over the test and see where you did badly, and then you take it over again. So the same way, we will stumble as we're becoming Krishna conscious, but Maya will teach us why we're stumbling. And then we can correct ourselves. Like when someone's learning to walk, it's the same thing. The law of gravity keeps pulling the kid down. But then the kid learns how to walk. So Maya teaches us to take shelter of Krishna. Isn't it? Like Queen Kunti said, Tatra Tatra Jagatguru, send the miseries again and again. Apunar Bhavadarsana, so we can see, we don't see repeated birth and death. All right, any other questions? We got 3 minutes left. That was a good question about Maya. Actually, it's interesting, there's another story where Markandeya Rishi wanted to see Maya. And Krishna said, okay, you asked for it. And then all of a sudden he found himself drowning in the ocean of devastation. And then after a few eons, you know, a long time, drowning, almost getting swallowed by the big fish, he sees this little baby on a banyan leaf on an island, and the baby breathes in, and that's Krishna. And then he sees himself in his ashram. So that's Maya. He saw Maya. But we shouldn't ask to see Maya. We're already in Maya, so why do we have to ask to see her? Maya. Identification with this body, identification with our material desires, identification with anything other than Krishna. Maya, the definition of Maya is given in the second verse of the Chatushloki verses in the Bhagavatam. Rite ritam na pratyeta na pratyeta chatmani tatvajo atmanatmafayam yata basha yata tamaha. Anyone know the verse? You should know, Maya is, if you see anything not connected to Krishna, that's Krishna's illusory energy, which is like a reflection that appears in darkness. Another definition of Maya is Krishna Surya Sama Maya Haya Andhakar. Maya is the absence of Krishna. Same thing actually, that's Bengali. Okay, so enough about Maya. We should be interested in Yoga Maya and Krishna's expansions. I think if we just think of, wow, how wonderful Krishna is, like we're describing here, how amazing Krishna is, then we won't be in Maya. You know, right now that should be our platform, the greatness of God. We worship Krishna on the altar in that mood too. In the mood of Lakshmi Narayan, even though it's Krishna and Radharani, in the mood of Lakshmi Narayan, all in reverence. Okay, on that happy note, all glory.